Now let us come before the Lord once again in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that all Scripture is of Thy inspiration. We thank Thee, O Lord, of those holy men of old who were moved by Thy Spirit to write these words. And we thank Thee that the Savior said, "It is written of Him." Lord, we pray that we might see some glimpse, even clear picture of our Savior Jesus Christ and the way of salvation for our souls and the comfort that is found in it, even in the ministry of the Word this morning. Lord, we pray that those who are yet afar off or those who are seeking, we pray that they might come in to find Jesus Christ, to enter into His rest and blessing and salvation. Bless then our gathering for worship. May through the preaching of Thy Word, Thy name be magnified and Thy Word be revealed to us. We ask these things through Christ our Savior. Amen. Friends, we have read together this wonderful portion of God's Word. It's about finding a wife for Isaac. And there are many teachings we could get from this, many applications from this portion about the care that parents ought to have about the bringing up of their children and about seeking a spouse for them. But that is not something I want to speak of this morning. I want to simply this morning bring to you those few words, the response of Rebekah at the end of verse 58. She says this, "I will go. I will go." These are the words of Rebekah, who was soon to become the wife of Isaac. To her, this question was put, "Wilt thou go with this man? Will you go with him? Will you go with this servant who would take you to another man who is Isaac to be your husband?" And she gives a very clear answer, a very forthright answer. "I will go." The remarkable fact is that her response was one major step forward in the fulfillment of God's promise and purpose to send Christ into this world. You see, God's plan of redemption from the beginning of time, it is according to His covenant of grace, and His promise within that covenant is that He will send a Savior to be the Savior of sinners, to be the Savior of His people. And here is you find in the Word of God various steps taken, God fulfilling His Word. And my friends, you and I are the recipients of these things. We have the clarity in these things, in the Gospel of Jesus Christ. 65 years before the event of this chapter, the Lord had appeared to Abraham, who was in the Ur of the Chaldees, where he dwelt with those who were in the line of Shem. And in his appearance, God called Abraham. The Lord, in that call, bid him to leave his native land, to leave his people. However, in the process of speaking to Abraham, God revealed that through his servant's seed, through his line, through his offspring, his children, he would bless the nations of the earth. And that revelation meant, therefore, that Abraham, who was married but childless, would have an offspring, would have a child. Yet, if you have read, and I trust that you're familiar with that account of what took place, as more time went past, there seemed to be no child. But then the Lord showed further detail of His promise to Abraham of a seed. And there is this progression of God's revelation that is continued. And it came to the point that Abraham learned that from his own loins, from himself, there would come forth one who would be the Savior of the world, the Messiah. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ himself tells us of this, that Abraham saw these things. Abraham was revealed these things in John chapter 8 and verse 56. We are told of the Lord Jesus Christ that Abraham believed that what God showed him. He said to the Pharisees, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. In fact, so strong was his faith that Abraham rejoiced in anticipation of the day when Christ would come. And of course, as we have these things written, we are told that Abraham was justified by believing in that message of salvation. He became justified before God because he trusted in the promise of redemption through the Messiah and what the Messiah would do, that the Messiah would give his life for sinners. And from that time, in Ur of the Chaldees, until then, until there was even the first sign of the fulfillment of the promise, 25 years went past. Then Isaac was born. And Abraham saw that against all apparent odds, God is faithful. And God is faithful to keep his word. And my friends, that is for you as well this morning. Do you believe this message? Do you believe the word of God? It does not mean that you understand it. You understand all the details. And it does not mean that you understand how is God going to bring this to pass. When God says to you, I will care for you, he cares for our souls, that he will provide for you, that he will guide you. Do you believe that? That those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ will be kept safe. None of them will be lost. Do you believe that? Praise God, his word is true. And following the birth of Isaac, another 40 years rolls away. Which brings us to this time in which this message comes and this passage is found in chapter 24 of Genesis. The point had arrived for the next step in the progress or the progression of the fulfillment of God's promise. Isaac must be married, which means that a bride must be found. And that is the story of this chapter, but how we are told these things. God wonderfully led and provided. The right bride was found. And you have to take your time later this afternoon to read through this whole chapter. It's a wonderful account. How this young woman named Rebecca is found. Eventually, she and Isaac come together to be husband and wife so that through these things, God will fulfill the promised Messiah. Through their line, Jesus Christ would be born. And from all this detail, we learn that this great chapter has very clear gospel significance. If it has to do something to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, then here we have the message of salvation. We have already noted this, the promise of the Savior. We also see, however, from another perspective, in relation to Rebekah's willingness to go to be the bride of Isaac. And in this detail, there is a pointer to the matter of sinners, unconverted, being willing to receive and take hold of Christ by faith. When he's presented to them so freely in the gospel, in the preaching of this message, Rebecca's response is, I will go. I will go. And that brings into sharp focus the responsibility of all of us. I will go. I will trust in him. I will believe in the message of the gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ. I will I am willing to seek the Savior. The preaching of Christ's gospel, and that call goes out to all to surrender to the Savior. It implores them to go willingly to Him and to trust Him and thereby enter into this saving union with Him. Have you entered into that saving union with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, here I want to bring three things about this willingness of Rebecca and its connection to the gospel and salvation. First of all, willingness to believe the message of the gospel. Secondly, willingness to trust in the unseen Savior. And finally, willingness to forsake all for Him. These are the things we see in this, I will go. So first of all, we see here the willingness to believe the message. And the message is the message of the gospel. You see in verse 5, the servant focuses on the issue of the willingness of the prospective bride. What if this bride will not come? What if she won't be willing to come? And that is his concern. And the servant said unto him, peradventure, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. What should I do? And his words indicate that he could anticipate certain potential obstacles. Those obstacles and those hindrances require willingness on Rebecca's part. Willingness, even determination to overcome them. Set them aside and not allow them to hinder her in doing the will of God. That's what's described here. What is she going to do? What if she won't? What if there are other things in her mind? And as noted, it is the will of God that all of us should seek the Lord. The Apostle Paul, we read it, that he commands all men everywhere to repent and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is what the Lord commands us to. He commands us to seek Him. But in seeking the Lord, in being interested and concerned about the matter of salvation, there are many spiritual struggles. And your own heart produces these hurdles, these problems, your sin, the world, Satan, all of these things. We have all kinds of enemies. And so these are spiritual struggles are there. Very often those are struggles concern potential obstacles designed to keep you from Christ. For the saving of your soul, my friends, they must be overcome. You must get to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the very, very first place, you must be willing. You must be willing to believe the message brought to you about the Savior. Was she willing? Was she willing to go to Isaac? Abraham's servant brought to Rebekah a glorious message about this beloved son, Isaac. On the basis of that message, she was willing to step out and to go to Isaac. Against what she was told, there was the great obstacle of what? The obstacle of unbelief. Unbelief. Is unbelief something that you struggle with? Well, everyone struggles with unbelief in different degrees, in different situations. Not trusting the Lord in certain circumstances, and then worry comes in, anxiety comes in, all kinds of things come in. Unbelief. But on her part, she had to act in faith about what she was told. And illustrates for us so clearly, so vividly that every one of us will only be saved when in faith we give full assent and full trust in the message of the gospel. Not that it is simply true, but I take it for myself. I take it for myself that Jesus Christ died even for a sinner like me. He loved me and gave himself for me. Not that it is all true, but it's personally applied. Has it been personally applied to you? There is a danger, my friend, being brought up in church. I didn't have that problem because I wasn't brought up in church. And I wish I was. But I didn't have that problem of being used to the truth. But there is a problem for those of you who are brought up, children brought up in Christian homes and brought up under the faithful preaching of the Word of God. You know it is all true. You believe those things to be true. You don't question it. But it must be applied to you. You must take it as yours. The Savior must be yours. Don't be satisfied to simply say, I believe this, then I am a Christian. The Scripture says clearly, you must be born again. And that's what we need. And here was this woman. She hears about this beloved son. She hears about Abraham looking for a bride for his son. Will you go with this man? And think about the things she heard. You think about the connection with the Lord Jesus Christ and the message of salvation here. You think about Isaac's life and experiences. They were filled with the miraculous, and it is filled with the supernatural, giving clear views of the Savior of sinners. You think about Isaac was the promised son. God had given promises of Isaac to Abraham and Sarah. And Jesus Christ is that promised Son of God to be the head and the spiritual head of a large nation. People, countless numbers, millions upon millions of people. You can only be saved from sin and from hell by identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they must have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved too. You must obey the gospel message that the darkened human mind would reject. We would naturally reject it, but we must seek the Lord, seek Christ this morning against all odds. Isaac was that promised son, but Isaac was also had a supernatural birth. God visited Sarah, and she delivered a son as a result of a miracle. God's promised son came into the world. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world through that miracle of miracles. The conception of Mary and the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ became man, yet ceased not to be God. And as the God-man, He was qualified to save and to rescue members of the fallen humanity from sin and death. So there is that supernatural birth of Isaac. There's the promise of Isaac. But also Isaac, if you know the account, and children, you should know it, of how he was handed over to be a sacrifice, to give his life as a sacrificial death to God. On Mount Moriah, Isaac was offered up. It's recorded in chapter 22 of Genesis. And every detail points to what? To the cross. It points to Calvary. And it points to the mighty love of God. It points to Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, the apostle says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" So there is that as well. Here, Isaac is not an ordinary person. Everything about him is pointing to a greater than Isaac. And then you think about Isaac returning from the place of sacrifice. And that typifies the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle points to this in Hebrews. Chapter 11, it says, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. It's a picture of the resurrection, the apostle says in Hebrews 11, 19. And all of these things concerned Isaac. And Rebecca heard these things. We didn't have the time to read through. Rebecca heard. The family heard. This is Isaac. This is the one that Rebecca is to become the bride of. And she believed it. To believe that against all odds, that's a miracle of miracles. For a person to believe this message, it must be from God. And so she set aside the natural unbelief of her heart and rested on what was revealed to her and went to trust in Isaac. And you must do the same. I must do the same. When Christ is revealed, when Christ is preached, when the gospel is preached, people will mock it. The world will not receive it. But what about you? I will go, she says. I will go. Do not let unbelief hinder you. Do not let the various things in your life that is distracting you slow you down from hastening to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't fulfill what Isaiah said one time in Isaiah 51, who hath believed our report. Don't be someone who will be put in that category. This person did not believe the report, the message of salvation. If you do reject and if you do not believe, what will be fulfilled are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark 16 and verse 16. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So it's a serious matter. It's a very solemn matter. It's a wonderful thing to think Christ is preached and Christ is offered and Christ is seen in this passage. Wilt thou go with this man? She said, I will go. She was willing to trust in the message. But then following from this, the second thing is this, the willingness to trust the unseen one. To trust the unseen Savior. Rebecca was being asked to go to the one whom she had never seen. Imagine that. Will you, parents, do this with your children? You wouldn't dream of it. But you see, it's all connected. It's all pointing us to the Lord Jesus Christ. She must give her love to the one whom she has never set her eye upon. But she was willing to do it. This is faith. She surrenders to the one who is invisible, at least to her eyes at that point. And the gospel, the true gospel of God, has this same element of truth in it. This matter of fleeing to and trusting in the unseen Christ is a great obstacle to fallen mankind, to our fallen minds. This is such an obstacle. No, I have to see, I have to touch, I have to taste. That's why then man engineers a kind of religion that can be tasted, can be seen, can be smelled. It's all physical. Sinful man's mind is so blind that he must see and then he trusts. If she show us these things, then we will believe. That's what they said to the Lord Jesus Christ too. And he said once, no, if they not believed Moses and the prophets, they will not believe. The entire gospel proclaims an invisible Savior, at least to our eyes. Unseen is in that unseen place, unseen domain. And those who will be saved, and they must be saved on God's terms. You cannot be saved on your terms. And those who do trust in that unseen Savior, Jesus Christ, will be saved. In Scripture, we meet such people who did trust. Moses did trust. In Hebrews 11, verse 27, we read, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The New Testament Christians, those Thessalonians who who at the beginning, there were those Jews who did not receive the message of salvation that the Apostle Paul preached and persecuted him. But there were a group who did believe. There were a group who the Apostle Paul speaks of them and says, ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. At one point, they didn't believe him. But then they turned from their idols that they could see, to the one whom they couldn't see. They turned and they saw by faith Jesus Christ, believed on him. In 1 Peter, Peter tells us, whom having not seen, ye love. Whom having not seen, ye love. And here is Rebecca. Rebecca was given tokens that Isaac was all that she was told about him, and would receive her to be his own. In verse 36, with reference to Abraham's relationship to as father of Isaac, it is stated, unto him hath he given all that he hath. In verse 53, we read that the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. These were some of the visible tokens. Isaac wasn't seen, but the visible tokens were there that he would have her to be his bride. And these are visible realities, symbols of his reality as a person. He is real. We are told of his riches and that he had for her. And seeing these things, she gladly saw that they are true. He is a real man. Even though I don't see him, I see the blessings. And so when she's challenged, she said, I will go. You see these things in the scriptures. In chapter 45, you have Jacob. Joseph has sent these chariots with his brothers. And Jacob is there and he can't believe that Joseph is alive. But then he says, the brothers, so look at these chariots, these wagons that Joseph has sent. And then we are told that Jacob saw these things and he believed. It says that he revived. He came alive. And similarly, my friends, Christ supplies sinners with the evidences of his love, his care. He has privileged you, hasn't he? With seasons of gospel preaching and the seasons of the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ being preached to you. He's being set forth to you. You're hearing things that so few people in the world hear. That is God showing you. These are the favors of God. These are the blessings of God. These are the riches of God to you. You're told of his mercy, you're told of the fact that God is so patient and so long-suffering. This holy God, this God who we have to give an answer to one day, he is pouring these blessings before you. And this unseen God shows his unspeakable riches in Jesus Christ. You're told of the finished work of the Lord Jesus on the cross, when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he said at the end, it is finished. You're told of this gospel. You're told of the provision for the atonement of our sins, that our sins can be wiped away. It can be canceled because Jesus Christ paid that debt for us by his own blood. He's been declared to you as the pearl of great price. He's that hidden treasure. He's described as the precious blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. These are Christ's jewels, as it were. And then we are told of his garment of salvation, the clothing of his righteousness that we have. All made known to us where? In his word, in the Bible, in the preaching of it. It's all designed to show you what? Of those chariots, as it were. It's all designed to show you he is real. He is real. and for the sake of your own soul, you ought to call upon God, I will go. I will go to the unseen God, to the unseen Savior, and to be with Him forever. So this is the second thing. And finally, very quickly, what we find, she says, I will go. That tells you that of the willingness to forsake all for Isaac. She is willing to forsake everything for him. And so when she says, I will go, she was indicating that to have Isaac, she's willing to leave family, friends, home, and indeed everything. I will go. She was prepared to sever her links with the old life. The same challenges are there in the gospel. Severing from the old life, the old habits, the old ways, the old sins. Those things that did not glorify God, those sinful pleasures of sin for a season. We are willing to sever ourselves from all of those things. The umbilical cord with the world must be cut. That's what the gospel requires. You see, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ will not have any part in sin. And He calls on those who will be His to forsake the world of the ungodly, and to follow Him. You cannot have your foot in both camps. You can't be the Lord's and to be the devil's. The Lord Jesus Christ will not enter into any kind of association, any friendship with a corrupt world, and those who will be saved must be willing to have done with it. And there are certain things maybe in your life that you're feeding off. What are you feeding in your life, depending on, taking pleasure in? The world is full of amusements. The world is full of entertainment through your ear gate. Many people are hooked on it, and so much hooked on it that they won't hear anything else. You talk to them. I was talking to someone in the open air, and they've got one earpiece in one ear, and they're pretending to listen. But they're not. They're listening to some pop music and filling their mind in one way with things that just distracts them. Are those things that you're listening to, those things you're watching to, are those the hindrances? Do you want to have those things more than the gospel, more than salvation? My friends, she was willing to say, I will go. I will leave all the trappings of my family, all the comforts, all the things that I know for a land and a people who I don't know. These are strangers, but they will become my family. And so here is Rebekah, who lived in Mesopotamia, in the era of the Chaldees, a place of idolatry. That was a place which was essentially that site of Babylon. Babylon is a picture of the world, ungodliness, corruption, things that oppose the gospel and holiness. And out of those things, the Lord calls sinners. Those things are at enmity against God. It will result in our destruction. You see, anything that offends God, any sin, do you know why it will destroy you at the end? Why it will destroy me if I continue holding on to them? Because it is at enmity against God. And anything that is at enmity against God is also at enmity against those who are the images of God. And mankind, what are we? Image bearers of God. And so those things that offend Him, they will lead to our destruction. That is why we are saying to you, that's why Rebekah had to leave all and say, I will go. I will go. Not I will stay, but I will go. My friends, here is then a wonderful picture. Here is this woman who until that point didn't know much about Isaac. But the servant came faithfully and said everything about Isaac. This is my master. This is my Lord. And He wants to take you to be His bride. Will you go with Him? will you come with me? And she says at the end, I will go. And this is something then God has been working in her. And she says, this is the will of God. And what she does, she doesn't linger anymore. When her mind is made up, when she sees this is real, this is truth, even though her family say, stay for a little longer, she says, no, I will go now. It's done. This willingness to go after Isaac is immediate. May God then work in your heart to leave everything and see what worth and value there is in Jesus Christ and His salvation, and how this world, this era of the Chaldees that we are living in, this Babylon that we are living in, one day it will be rolled up, as Peter tells us. It will be gone. Those things that we hoped in and we looked for, it will be gone in this world. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. But praise God, nothing that Christ has done will be destroyed. May God do such a work in you, and you will be made willing in the day of His power, that work will not be destroyed. It will last, not just for the moment, but forever. Amen.